We are on the subject of transformation. It's an amazing topic, and it is very important that we really understand what it means. I believe that the reason the church has settled for less and lowered the standards of serving God, both in holiness and what we expect as how we're to change the world, is because we don't understand transformation. And we have a view of it that's kind of shallow or distant. It's not deep enough. When you go swimming and you go out with your friends and you go swimming in a river or a lake, you know, it's not good enough just to get your toes wet. We want to get fully immersed in the meaning of what it means to be transformed. And that's why I feel this is probably my most important teaching that I could ever give. And it's also why I'm taking my time and doing it slowly, because I feel it's that important for you and I to learn what it means to be transformed into the image of God. Because that is a possibility for all of us while we're on this earth to walk fully in all that God has for us. But it doesn't happen because you want it. It doesn't happen because you choose it. It only happens through transformation. And we haven't even got to discuss it yet in this series, because we're still stuck on trying to describe what are we being transformed into and where are we being transformed from. So I want to discuss some more and go over some key verses, I think, today. And we'll start in our first core verse, which is Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, now I want you to read this carefully, you, so say me, present your bodies. So you have a body. Your body is not you. You have a body. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I hope I've done a good enough job to help you to see that your body is not just your fingernails and your hand, but it also is the natural part of your soul. Because when we deal with the natural part of our soul, it has desires and plans and thoughts and emotions. And we have to mortify those. And we'll get into that. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Now, I share the story of how God told me, I did not tell my church to conform into Christianity. I told them to transform, meaning that much of the church is trying to make their outward man look right, act right, and they don't know that what has happened really on the inside, and that we're to transform into that person and mortify the outward man. And because of that, so much of the church is experiencing God only on the outward experience, only like an Old Testament saint, not really with the intimacy and power that he wants us to know him. He loves you. He wants you to know him. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. So if you have an old nature of sin, you're going to die if you live according to that. But if by the Spirit, so if you're born again, now you have a job. And by the Spirit, this is talking about your new nature, by the inner man, with the new nature, mortifying, putting to death the deeds of the body. So let's pause there. Your body has deeds and desires. Around noontime or dinner time, you start to get hunger. See, that's a natural desire. That's your body telling you, feed me. And you don't think it necessarily like, okay, I need to tell myself to eat. Your body will tell you when you're hungry because it has an appetite. Well, the body doesn't just have an appetite for food. It also has an appetite from the natural part of your soul for sin, for things that make it feel safe, to make it feel happy. This is the deeds of the body. And the reason why it's in verse 13, right after, if you live according to the flesh, it's telling you, if you're not born again, that old nature of flesh, that old nature of sin will drag you to hell. You will die. You will never see heaven if you have a nature of sin. But when you got born again, you received a new nature. But when you received that new nature, it brought to life your inner man, but left the outward man still dark. And now your job is, by the power of that new nature and your inner man, you're to put to death and mortify the deeds and desires of the outward man, of the outward body. So your outward body has desires. It has emotions. It has needs, deeds, and desires. And your job, once you're born again, is to put it to death. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians. And let's just read quickly. Chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, talking about when you're born again. But God has revealed these secrets, them, to us through His Spirit, talking about your new nature. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Now, what does that mean? The Spirit searches all things. Well, this is, again, talking about your new nature, bringing to life your inner man. Now your inner body, your inner man, desires the things of God. So I want you to see that your inner man is born again by the nature, and it desires and searches after the things of God. We'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're just repainting the picture. So I can show you here that the inner man has desires and searches after God, because the new nature brought it to life. It wants God. It's searching God. It wants holiness. It wants purity in your life. The outward man has desires and deeds that you have to mortify and put to death. So it's clear here you have an inner man and an outward man, and you are to mortify the desires of the outward man. The outward man is not just your skin. The outward body is not just your hair and your toes. Mortifying our body is not trying to suffer, not trying to sacrifice, not trying to cut ourselves or harm ourselves, but going after the emotions and the mindset, the thoughts and the emotions and the desires of our natural man. So your soul, what we would call a soul, is connected to both worlds, the inner man and the outward man. But when you were born again, the new nature brought to life the inner man and left the outward man dark and in death. And now you have a voice from the outward man and a voice from the inner man. You are not schizophrenic. But the reason you struggle, and I'm talking to you because I know, the reason we struggle with anything, with insecurity, with fear, with jealousies, with envies, with desires for too much ice cream, to desires for pornography, like these desires come from the natural soul within the natural man. That's why we are to mortify them. But you're not without emotions. You know, so much of the church world is settling with, I need to take the emotions of bad emotions, ugly emotions, clearly ugly emotions, and I need to put them down. And then I need to live out of the good emotions. But really, they're just amplifying the good emotions of their natural man. The problem isn't the good and the bad, it's the source that they come from. You have a source of emotions from the natural man, and even the good are not good enough. But you also have a source of emotions and desires. That's why it calls it the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. These are emotions. That's why we're in heaven and we don't have our outward body. We still have emotions. There's still joy in heaven. There's just not sorrow. There's no fear in heaven. Why? Because the source of fear and envy and sadness is the natural part of your soul within the natural body. God had to redeem us by inserting a new nature into us, which brought to life our inner man, but left the outward man dead, dark. Not dead like an animal on the road, but dark. Which is why in 1 Corinthians 15, he tells us how we receive a new outward body at the trumpet sound. We get a new body in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. It's not just the skin, it's the emotional part of this outward body. So the way I want you to see this, because we're going to tackle a very strong verse that has been misinterpreted or underinterpreted, and it has been accepted as, in our culture, as being cemented in our foundation. But because of that, I believe that it has stopped us from looking deeper to who we really are, or what really happened to us when we're born again, and the miracle that happened to us when we're born again, and the possibility that no matter where you start in this walk, that you can transform into a complete child of God in holiness, in love, and in power. It doesn't matter where you start. Let's say I'm preaching good, which, you know, I like to say I always preach good, but let's say I'm preaching really good in a church service, and in come two men. The first man comes in with his family. They pull up in a very nice car. New, it's shiny, it's clean on the inside. You look under the seat, there's no wrappers or trash under the seat or McDonald's bags wrapped up, thrown under there. It's clean. And they pull up and they park their nice car, expensive car, and they walk in. They look good. He's got a suit and a nice tie. You can tell it's expensive. His hair is cut and trimmed and a little bit of gray, but it's a good, it's a salty gray, like mine, nice. And they walk in the church. They got the husband, the wife, and the 3.2 kids or 2.3 kids, and everything's great. And they sit in the second row, and they look nice. It's a beautiful family. He's a doctor. He's educated. He's wealthy. He's disciplined. I mean, he eats vegetables and salads, and you can tell he's fit. He's disciplined. He's wealthy. He's happy. His family's nice. And then right behind him comes another man that was brought in because they found him on the street, homeless, with no food, no money, and they fed him, but they didn't have enough time to bathe him. So he stinks a little bit, and his, you know, hair is really long and matted up, and he's missing teeth. And he sits over on the other side of the church, and he sits with the family that brought him. They said, look, we will take you for lunch if you come to church. So he said, okay, I'll put up with it. So they bring him to church, and they sit him down on the second row on the other side of the church. And his hair's a mess, his family's given up on him. And then I preach such a good sermon. I mean, I preach about hell is hot and you better not go there, that both men come up to the altar and accept Jesus into their heart. So here at the altar, I have one man that looks great. The other man looks horrible and just ruined his life. And they get born again. This is the problem where the church is today. Because once they're born again, it's like when I was youth pastor. You know, the rule was you don't date unsaved boys to the girls, and vice versa to the boys. But there was more girls that were saved in the church than the boys. So the boys had the better picks. And so a new guy comes in the church, and he's not saved, and all the girls think he's cute, but he's off limits because he's not saved. He's off limits. And I've had drug addicts and Satanists walk up to the altar, accept Jesus. I'm talking about the good-looking ones, not the not-so-good-looking ones. I've had good-looking young men right out of Satanism, right out of drugs, like that day, come to the altar, accept Jesus, turn around and have 15 girls looking at them, saying hi to him, trying to court him, because now that he's saved, he's available. Now he's not a sinner, but, you know, he's still just off of drugs. And the point is, we want him to grow in God first before we say he's dateable. But, you know, the concept of once he's born again, he's free going, was very clear in the youth that they were, as soon as he got saved, he's available, let's get him. And so if I get these two guys in my church service, and one is a drunk and a homeless, the other one's a doctor and great and wealthy, I could say, sir, you have a beautiful family, you're fit, you're obviously have your act together, you got finances, you got the nicest car, and it's clean in the parking lot. I'm going to give you the mic to teach us how we should have those things, because that is what a Christian should look like. But see, all those things he has, he did not obtain because of his spiritual man, because of his new nature, because he was born again. He obtained them in the natural way, like any carnal man would do, all out of the natural man. So just because he has a new nature doesn't mean he's transformed yet. It means that he's on a pathway to transform, but it's not just because he's behaved. He can't teach you spiritual things. The only difference between those two men is their outward bodies. Their inward man came to life. So now the drunkard is in the same place as the doctor. They both now can grow in who they are in the spirit. Growing up in the spiritual man has been lost in the church world today. It's been brushed over. We've replaced maturing and growing in the spirit with experiences. Experiencing God and experiencing God's presence and getting spiritual. And we've replaced the true spiritual walk, which is growing up in the spirit man. Because that's what happened. Your new nature brought to life the inner man. So now, because it's alive, it wants to know God. It wants to experience God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, and these I know these are our core verses, but as we go through this, I'm painting a picture. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So I want you to see here clearly that you have an outward man that now must perish, or in Romans it says, put to death, mortify. That the deeds of it, that the outward man is not the body. We want our body, the actual, the heart and the lungs and the kidneys to last a long time and the skin to look good, and we want that. So it's not talking about the body or even the appetite for food. It's talking about the natural part of your soul that is left in the natural man that desires things that may be good, but it's still not from the spiritual source, the inner man. So the natural man we must put to death, or here is perishing. We're causing it to perish, to lose its power, to lose its ability to instruct us, to make us feel, to lead us. And then you want to see here that the inward man, verse 16, the inward man, you have an inward man. Your inward man must be renewed, is being renewed day by day. So we have an outer man that is perishing and the inner man that is being renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction. So this bothering of this process that I have to actually mortify or cause the outward man to perish and cause the inner man to be renewed. The renewing is in the inner man. It is not in shining up the outward man. It is in building up the inner man so we can cause the outward man to perish. So much of the church is trying to get the outward man, the outward mind, the outward emotions to behave. That is not the same as transformation, where you're living out of a different species. You are a different species. When we talk about transformation, when we get there, what the process is, you're going to be amazed at what is available to you. But I got to let you see where you're going and where you're coming from first. For our light affliction, which is this process, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, Romans chapter 8 again. For verse 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time, this is that exactly what we were just reading in 2 Corinthians. The suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The suffering here is the putting to death, mortifying the desires and deeds of our natural soul, the natural body, and at the same time building up and strengthening the desires and deeds of our inner man, because our inner man is alive while our outer man is left in darkness. That's why you have a fight. It's not because you aren't complete in him. It's that he had to leave you in this outward body. For the earnest expectation of a creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. So it wasn't by choice that the world decided to go into the new earth and into the eternity with God. God put that on us, on the earth, with a hope that he would be able to see a new earth and a new universe and a new Jerusalem, a new place for his children to flourish. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So we as children of God will receive the new creation. That's where we live. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So we are groaning right now. This is what we're talking about in 2 Corinthians 4 and Romans 8 is talking about the same subject. The outward man and the inward man. The inward man came to life. And the way you see your inward man is the inward spiritual body that has the inward spiritual mind, will, and emotions that are alive. And they desire God. That's the love and joy and peace. That's the source of emotions that God wants you to go to instead of just shining up the outward man's emotions. We're to mortify the outward man's emotions. For we know the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains until now. Not only that, verse 23, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our body. See, we're not adopted, but we receive a new body. The new body replaces this old outward body. The inward body was brought to life by the new nature. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? So even though you can't see your inner man, even though you can't see the victory, there's a hope that you won't have to fight against the outward man forever. The outward man is only here while you're on this earth. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So we're eagerly waiting with perseverance for when we receive a new body. But until then, we act as if we're in charge. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. So if you ever hear a preacher say you don't need to be holy or pursue holiness, change that preacher quick. Change preachers. God's will is our sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. So it's telling you that there could be a voice that comes from your natural man, the natural part of your soul, that is saying, live in sexual immorality. You need that. And so we're to abstain from that. It's a choice. The reason it's a choice is because your inner man is now alive. You can obey it in its nature instead of the outward man's desires and deeds. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. So we should know how to, we should practice, we should walk in making our natural man, our outward body, our outward soul, part of our soul, mind, will, and emotions. We should know how to possess it, own it, and say, you don't tell me who I am anymore. But where do I get my self-worth? Where do I get my value from? Well, you have a set of emotions on the inner man that can grow and overtake your life if you transform. Now, I want us to look here now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23 and 24. We just read in chapter 4 about it's our job to possess our vessel, possess our body, to make it bow its knee to who we are now in Christ. Now may the God of peace, verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. Now, we're going to look at this because this is the verse that we get most of our understanding, that I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Now, I want to look closely because even though that's okay, that is an absolutely, let me just pause here and say, if that's the understanding that you can handle, that is perfectly great. You are a spirit who has a soul, lives in a body. It's very shallow. It's not complete, but it's very good. And as I'm describing transformation, I want you to understand that many people have different words, but sometimes we're saying the exact same thing. And so we want to make sure that we're not building something new. I'm just articulating the way that I see it and interpret it. And I'm teaching it to you the way I see it. But it's not meaning that someone else is wrong. It's just we're maybe saying the same thing, just different ways. And so this is the way that I see it that I'm trying to get across to you. But let's look closely here. Because he's talking about when the trumpet sounds here at the end times. Now, may the God see the way that some people interpret this or read this is wrong. They would read it at, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They would preach it to you that you have to walk blameless and walk perfect. That's your job, to walk perfect until Jesus comes. But that's not what it's saying here. The word in the King James is unto, and which means at this moment, when this happens. In other words, God of peace himself will sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless when the trumpet sounds. And it says here that God will do this. If someone says to you, right, he uses this verse to say, your job is to be perfect, sinless, blameless until Jesus comes, you can just read verse 24. Okay, but it says here, he who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. So it's God's job to do it for me. So, you know, I don't even have to try to change because God's going to do it for me. This is not talking about you today. Let's be clear what happened. Adam was designed by God to operate in both worlds at the same time, both realms, the spiritual realm and the natural realm. So in essence, he had a spiritual body with a spiritual mind, will, and emotions, and an outward body with a natural mind, will, and emotions. And they were joined together in perfect unity. He had a nature of light, and Adam was perfect, made in the image of God. He was completely light, body, soul, and spirit, when you looked at him, completely light. Now, let's look really close here in verse 23 again. I know I'm nitpicking, but I want to nitpick. I want you to see this. I want you to undo a shallow version of yourself. Some people will take some of this idea on body, soul, and spirit, and they'll feel like, I'm the homeless guy. I'm the bum that got saved. And I look over and I see those other people and they got their act together and they're great, they're strong, and I'm hopeless. I'm never going to catch up to them because they're looking at the outward man. They don't realize that the moment they're saved, both of those men start at the same place. The only advantage the doctor rich man has over the bum poor man is that he may have enough discipline in his life to spend the time to grow spiritually. But he does not have any more growth in the things of God than the other man, because they both got born again. All that he obtained in the natural came from the natural. The natural is, we're not trying to act like worldly good people. We are a new species that don't even live on this earth. This earth is not our home. We are journeying through it until we get to our home, which is the new earth, the new universe. That's our home. Eternity with God. Or you can even say for now, heaven is our home. That's where I belong. That's my homeland. This earth I'm just passing through because I'm now a new species. So quit trying to act like a good earthling and start acting and growing like a good heavenly, a child of God. You are a different species. You have the nature inside of you. But let's look closely here. Verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself. So this is God's job. We read in chapter 4, it's your job. But now we're seeing it in chapter 5, talking about when the trumpet sounds. In the end, when your toes are on the new earth, you will have a new outward body. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. See, that means that you're not complete right now. You are incomplete. Well, what's incomplete? You're still wearing a natural body that needs to be exchanged for a new outward body that's made of eternal material. And it will click on to your inner body, and you will be completely whole of light. Now, look carefully here. You've heard, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. And I want you to quit thinking like that, or I want you to think deeper than that. And I want you to come closer than that, because that is a very far away version of you from this verse. And this verse is not talking about you today. This verse is talking about you after God is done completely restoring the children of God to the new earth. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you. So point at you right now, me. Completely. So you're not complete right now. And may your, now look at the word your, okay? Now, do you have a watch or a ring? That's your watch. That's your ring. You have a watch. You have a ring. But are you the watch? Are you the ring? No, you have those things. And listen to the language. Sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body. So he's not saying you are a spirit. He's saying that you have a spirit, you have a soul and a body, and in the end, God's going to make it and completely make it whole once again. Blameless. Blameless. Blameless means perfect. You cannot find blame anywhere. There's no person on earth with a earthly body that is blameless. Even the best, holiest person I know will sneak an extra cherry on their ice cream. And it may not be horrible, but it's not blameless. This is talking about us when God is done with us. So here's what I want you to see. I'm hoping I can get this image in us so we can really see the power of the scripture and the power of transformation. So Adam was made perfect in the image of God. God created a body, and Adam wasn't inside the body because God created Adam. God created Adam. He was not conceived. Now, Christy and I, we have two little children, two little creatures. They're born again, so they are children of God. But we created out of nothing. They never existed, but out of conception, they came into existence. This is from Adam's being the seed. God created Adam as the seed. And when he breathed life into Adam, it says that he made a body out of the dust of the earth. He made a body. So there's the body of Adam. Then he breathed life into Adam, a living soul. Okay? God made Adam a living soul. That meant that he gave the seed the right to reproduce. So the same way you take an apple seed, plant it in the ground. You don't have to pray over it. You don't have to ask God to zap it to make it alive. That seed will reproduce another apple tree because it has a power from the seed to reproduce. Well, that's Adam. Adam was the seed for mankind, and he was created, though. He wasn't conceived. So when God breathed life and made him a living soul, that meant that he was the father, the original seed that had the power to produce other people, other beings, other creatures, children that didn't come from heaven. God didn't create you. You came to existence by that breath, the power of the seed. When your parents got together, they didn't have to use holy water or ask God to zap them so you would come into creation. It was in the power seed for us as people to conceive a child. So we made a child by the will of man. Adam was the original seed, perfect. God's plan was for them to reproduce perfect little children that he never created, that he never met, and that he would come down and talk to us and meet us and fellowship with us. He was completely light. Every part of him was completely light. You can tell from the beginning that Adam had a body, and God breathed Adam into existence and breathed him inside, created Adam inside of that body. Now Adam was light and perfect and whole, completely white, light, righteousness. He was in the image of God. He was as righteous as God himself. He was not in deity, but as righteous as God is himself. Then Adam sinned. So Adam sinned, and now his nature went from light to dark, from righteousness to sin. Now his whole being, everything about him is dark. He was completely dark. So from a distance, Adam was dark body, soul, and spirit. Dark. Death. Sin. So then Jesus showed up. And Jesus showed up to give us a pathway to be born out of the family of Adam and born into the family of God. Jesus did not come to make new people. He didn't come to make a new family that only birthed Christians and leave the family behind. God does not make people anymore. He only made one, and that was Adam. The rest of us come from Adam. God breathed life into him. In fact, let's look there in Genesis, and we'll see it. Genesis chapter 2. Just stay with me. This is going to get into you, and when you see it from the scripture and you see the picture, you'll be excited about the possibilities of what's in front of you and how scared the devil is about what's in front of you. So verse 7 of Genesis chapter 2. If you're stuck and okay with, I'm a body, soul, spirit, I am a spirit, I have a soul, I am a body, then you are perfectly fine. I'm not trying to add any confusion, I'm trying to just add detail. But when you see the detail, you understand that that image, that I am a spirit, I have a soul, I'm a body, is not accurate for you today. It's incomplete for you today. Because it said, we read there, you, your spirit, your soul, your body. If it was you, he would say, God will complete you, you in your soul and your body. So if you were a spirit, had a soul, and lived in a body, it would say God would complete you and your soul and your body. He didn't say that. It said that you, God will complete your spirit, soul, and body. So you have these things, you are not those things. If you have a watch and I took your watch, you would still be there. Your watch would not be there. You are not your watch. You have a watch. Chapter 2, Genesis, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, or a living being, or a living soul. So the living soul is the breath of life. This is where you came from, this breath. God breathed into a seed, Adam, and said, I'm breathing life into you, and I'm giving you the ability as a seed to reproduce without me doing anything. That's the power of a seed. You don't have to pray over it. You don't have to ask God to zap it. It just produces after its own kind. Well, Adam became completely dark and produced after his own kind of race, a species of people called the human race that are born with the nature of darkness, completely dark. So when the day before, the minute before you asked Jesus in your heart, you were completely dark. Every part about you, you had a nature of darkness, and you had an inner body and an outward body. And the inner body had the spiritual part of your soul, and the natural body had the natural part of your soul, mind, will, and emotions. And they were all dark. You were completely dead, death, dark, sin. No matter how good you tried to be, it was still sin. Think about it just for a minute. If we just try to conform into Christianity, that means I'm trying to take my natural ability, my natural man, my natural thinking, emotions, and make it act better. But that didn't work for you to get saved. Your salvation is not based on you acting better. Otherwise, you would never need Jesus. You could be saved by doing good without Jesus. What got you saved was you received the new nature when you asked Jesus in your heart. So why would God then say, good, I gave you the new nature, now make your outward man act good? It would have been good enough before salvation. Transformation is not shining up the outward man, making it look good. It's going to the different source of desires, of feelings, of emotions, of thoughts, and that's through your inner man. We'll get into that when I get to transformation. I'm going over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So you were complete, completely dark, completely dead, completely death, completely sin. Every part about you, because your nature was dark. And God had to help us to begin the transformation from one species. It's the miracle of miracles. From one species that we were born into. And take us to where we are completely a different another species. It's like I say, I was born a worm. And I only use that because that's the Old Testament version of themselves. And God didn't say, okay, Alan, I'm going to transform you into an eagle. A different species, not a better worm, an eagle. So I'm going to, okay, come here, Alan. Nice to meet you. I squish you. I squish you, the worm. Now the worm is dead. You're dead, Alan. Now I'm going to make you a eagle. I'm going to take an eagle egg, and I'm going to write the name Alan, A-L-A-N, not two L's, A-L-A-N, no E, A-L-A-N. Okay, I spelt it right. And when that little chick hatches, I'm going to call you Alan. But I'm a different creature. I'm a different person. I'm new. No, he found a way to take you, and he had to do it this way. He had to deconstruct you before he can reconstruct you. So in the beginning, you were completely dark, body, soul, and spirit. Your body, your soul, and your spirit was completely dark. That word spirit is not your, is talking about your nature. Your nature was dark. You are not your nature. You have a nature. So your nature was dark. Your spirit was dark. Your soul, which is connected to both worlds, both realms, spiritual man and outward man, was dark. Your body, which was connected to both worlds, the inner, the spiritual world and the natural world, inner body, outward body, was dark. You were completely dark, body, soul, and spirit. And for God to rescue us, he couldn't just snap his finger and he couldn't just make it happen. What he did was he inserted into you a nature of light. So he inserted into you the new nature. Look over in 1 Corinthians 15. He, in chapter 15, we've gone over it. He's talking about when we get a new outward body. So when we look at our outward body, I want you to quit thinking of my fingernails, my hands. I want you to think of the outward body that is getting old and can get sick, and the deeds, the desires of that natural body, which is your natural mind, will, and emotions, the natural part of it. And what God had to do was he had to do surgery on us. He opened us up. So you were completely dark. You came to the altar, and what God did was he opened you up, and there was your inward man, dark on one side, your spiritual body, which has the spiritual side of your emotions and the spiritual side of your mind and in your nature of darkness. And you were completely dark. You were there, and your nature was dark, and your inner man was dark. That's why it talks about the inner man. It's the inner body and the inner emotions and mind, well, what we would call a soul. And it's connected to the outward man. They're one. They're all dark. There was no disagreement. Everything was in unity, but it was still dark. The outward body from this world, the carnality, the dust of the earth, the body, the mind, will, and emotions on the outward man. The outward brain, the inward brain, the outward emotions, the inward emotions, the outward desires, the inward desires. The outward man's chemical based, the inner man is spiritual based. But they were all dark. And if you died and the outward body fell off you, you would go to hell because the nature was dark. So when you went to the altar, he opened you up and he put the inner man on one side and the outward man on the other side. And you were in the middle. You had an inner man and an outward man. You had those things. You were not those things. You had those things. Then it says that here, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. the last Adam, Jesus, the last Adam, became a life-giving spirit. Well, what that's telling you is that Jesus didn't become another living soul like Adam with the ability to reproduce. He came to come alongside of what you, where you came. You came the first time from Adam, the living soul. That's from that breath, the power to come through conception to make a reproduction. You came from that. You didn't come from heaven. You came from that. So now God has a creature born of a family of darkness, that family of Adam. And there you are. You're lost. You're going to hell. He wants to rescue you. So how does he do that? How could he? He's desire. I got to rescue. Look at that. Look at Alan. He's born into a nature of sin, born into a family of darkness, going to go to hell. I need to rescue him. How can I do that? I'm going to create a new family. And the way he did that was he had to use Adam, the natural soul of Adam. That's where I came from. That's where I, Alan, came from. And what he did was he used Jesus, the life-giving spirit, meaning that he opened me up, and there's my inner man and my outward man. I'm connected. I'm still one, body, soul, and spirit. My spiritual, my nature was dark. My body, or my soul, my mind, will, and emotion was dark, but it was connected to both worlds. And my body, my natural body and my inner body, my spiritual body and my natural body were dark. They're connected. They were one touching both worlds. So how is God able to make this miracle of miracles happen? That he took me, and in the end, I'm the little chick. I am Alan, still there. I remember when I was a worm, but I'm no longer a worm. How did he do that without destroying me? Well, it says here he took Jesus' life-giving spirit, meaning that he opened me up, my inner man and my outward man, and he laid me out, my spiritual body, spiritual soul, spiritual part of my soul, and me. Me, I have a nature of sin. I had a nature of sin. I had an inner body and an outward body, an inner emotion, soul, outward emotion, soul, connected, all in perfect unity, all dark. But then he opened me up, and there, like a surgeon, he took out the nature of sin and used Jesus's nature, the life-giving spirit. He gave life to my inner man from Jesus into me, for me who came from Adam. Therefore, making me now of God. That new nature came to life in my inner man and brought to life my inner body, my inner man, the inner emotions, the inner part of my soul, brought me to life. But he left the outward man, the outward body, the outward part of my soul. So your soul was completely dark, mind, will, and emotions, completely dark. And it was connected to both worlds, the inner body and the outward body. They were one. They were perfectly dark. But in the process of salvation, God had to take the nature of Christ, which was given me life. It brought me from death to life. He inserted a new nature into me, and it lit up my inner body. But it left my outward body dark. And now I'm torn. This is the flesh lusts against the spirit. We read about Paul running a race and disciplining his body, beating it black and blue, that this is the inner man and the outward man. This is the walk of God, that I have an inner man that is alive with emotions that can be developed of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. And I have an intellect that is far superior from a source of God than my outward man's mind, will, and emotions. But he had to leave that dark. But when the trumpet sounds, he's going to take off, if I'm still here on this earth. See, he's going to take off my outward man and replace it with a new inner man in a quickening. That means the switch is brought to life. My mortal will put on immortality. So God is saying in 1 Thessalonians 5, I'm sorry I had to do it this way. It was the only way that you have to go through this suffering of mortifying the outward man and the fight of the inner man and the outward man, the flesh against the spirit. I'm sorry you had to go through all this, and to own and possess the outward body, it's a job. It'd be much easier just to give in, to the outward body and let it tell you who you are. But it's dead. It's dark. It has no power to tell you who you are. Even the good stuff, even the good emotions are a failure. But you have a source of emotions of joy and peace and love that are from your spiritual body. And those can grow like fruit on a tree. And the knowledge of God can grow. The renewing is in the inner man because it has to grow in the knowledge of God. It comes into life like a baby, like a child, because God inserted life into it through your new nature. But it's like a child. It has no knowledge. And the only knowledge it wants is from the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit and from God Himself. It doesn't grow from worldly knowledge or worldly motivation or acting worldly. It is from the spiritual realm and the spiritual realm of light. And so that's why we pray in tongues and we read the Word. Well, you always preach about that. Well, of course, because those are how we grow spiritually. My inner body is alive. But here's the promise of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, right now, you're not complete. You're incomplete. You are carrying a body that belonged to the old you. And the body is the emotions and the mind. And that's why it has desires and plans for you. It tries to tell you how to be happy. It tries to tell you how to protect yourself. It tries to tell you where to go in life. It'll even try to tell you how to serve God. But you have an inner man that's alive and light that only searches after the things of God and holiness, because it is light, as righteous as Christ is. And you have these things. You're not these things. You are not a nature. You have a nature. You're not an inner or outer body. You have those. But here's the promise of God. In chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians 3 and 4, we read that it's our job right now to possess that body, to own it, to make it bow its knee, to say, I'm responsible for you and you're crazy and it's my job to make you submit to God. I don't want to. Well, you're going to do it anyway. That is our job, because it can take you away from God ultimately. It can cause you to receive an old nature of sin if you allow your body, the natural desires of your body, to lead you. It's possible. But here's what it says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the coming, unto, not until. So what he's saying is, the only way I could do it is this way. I had to reach into you, open you up, inner man, outer man, and legally insert a new nature, causing you to be born into the family of God, causing your inner man, your spiritual man, to be quickened. So your inner body is alive. The inner emotions, ability, mind, will, and emotions to know God, love God, walk in the love of God. You have a source of that now because the nature is alive. But I had to leave you with the outward man, with dark and perishing and struggling and contrary to the inner man. And it's personal. But the promise is the suffering of this time will not be worthy to be compared with the glory. The promise is, listen, when the trumpet sounds and the job is complete and the new earth is here and we're walking on the new earth, I will, God is saying, I will put you back together when that new body comes on to you, that eternal body. And you will be complete and holy once again, but instead of being from darkness, you will be light. How amazing is this that God, in the full picture, takes us from a creature completely dark and doesn't kill us and destroy us, doesn't make us just disappear. And he protects us, me, Alan. And in the process, he rebuilds me with light from this new species, this new children of God. And ultimately, when it's all said and done, I will be completely light, body, soul, and spirit, all light once again. And God's promise is that's the way I'll live eternity, whole, completed by Him, a complete new species. And I will have traveled from one species to another. It's a miracle of miracles. There will be nothing left of me of darkness. Nothing of Adam will be in me in the new earth. Not even the earth will be of Adam's. It'll be a new earth. Not even the universe will be of Adam's. It'll be a new universe. This is the miracle of God. This is the process of salvation. But right now, you are not complete. You are in the process. And while you're waiting for that new body and suffering, it's our job to possess this body, make it act holy, not live out of it, not make it happy, not let it lead us, but to mortify it. So we're going to get more and more into this. I hope you're walking with me in this. I'm very proud of you for letting me teach this to you. I'm excited to teach this. I love you. God bless you, and we'll see you again soon.